This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
I'm going to feature all my favorite matte nail paints, and if you want to know more, then please continue watching. I do have a lot of Nykaa nail polishes, guys, and considering how affordable they are and the kind of shade range that they've got, and even the quality is pretty nice.
Hey everyone, welcome to Nykaa TV, and today in this video I'm going to show you three different and stunning eyeliner looks.
Wow!
Life begins at 50 and re-begins at 58. That's Falguni Nair for you, India's newest billionaire. Born in Gujarat, raised in Mumbai, and now being applauded all over the world. Someone who's just disrupted India Inc. Last week, Nykaa had a stellar debut on the stock exchanges. It crossed a market cap of 1 lakh crore rupees. The company is now more valuable than big players like Cipla, Britannia, and Marico. The 5,300 crore rupees initial public offering, or IPO, was subscribed a massive 82.4 times. A beauty destination for all. From Maybelline and Lakme to MAC and Estee Lauder, Nykaa has it all. It sells more than 300 Indian and global brands. Here's Falguni Nair speaking at the National Stock Exchange on the day of Nykaa's listing.
What a journey Nykaa has been. Going right back to 2012, I was in an established career which would often see me help entrepreneurs be in the exact position I am in today. After taking a giant leap of faith, I left my long career in investment banking to build a platform which at the time saw few believers and many naysayers. A beauty destination for all, powered by technology, content, community, and just pure passion.
Yet, shares of the cosmetics to fashion platform tanked as much as 7.4% on Monday morning after it reported a huge 96% decline in quarterly net profit, hurt by marketing and advertising expenses. So what's next after the sensational stock market debut? Are these valuations sustainable? As Falguni herself said, an IPO is like graduation for a company. Now there will be quarterly shareholder vigil to keep up with. Competition is intensely heating up. Can Nykaa hold its own? There's a long road ahead for the company. Let's find out what that looks like. I'm your host Ratna Bhushan, and you're listening to The Morning Brief. We have with us Fireside Ventures partner Kannan Sitaram and Avendus Capital Executive Director Neeraj Srimali with spot-on number crunching and insightful analysis. And of course, Falguni and her daughter Advaita, who spoke to ET's Samida Sharma and Sneha Shah on the day of listing. Kannan, you worked closely with some of India's largest consumer internet companies. How much and what changes now for Nykaa with all this shareholder scrutiny?
On the one hand, there is going to be a whole set of additional compliances, governance standards, and all of that. But let's leave that for the time being. I think the fundamental difference is that the nature of shareholders has changed. And this is going to mean something of a cultural transition for Nykaa. Let me try to expand on that. I just pulled out some numbers on price earnings multiples. Hindustan Lever has a price earnings multiple of 67. Nykaa has something like over 1,700. And, you know, this might be a bit of post-IPO exuberance and so on. But any which way you look at it, every rupee of Nykaa profits is being valued much more highly than that of Hindustan Lever. And that means that shareholders have huge expectations of how this company is going to perform. And that means that the company has to very religiously deliver on its strategy and its quarterly growth path of revenue and earnings. That does mean that in some respects, this company might become very circumspect about what kind of risks it undertakes in the future. And that's a cultural transition I'm talking about, because as an unlisted company, as a company having shareholders who have come in with maybe a 5-year, 6-year, 7-year kind of outlook, the company would have been encouraged to take risks, to try new things. But now in this new listed environment and the very, very high expectations that are embedded in the valuation, I think there might be a tendency to take less risks. And that could mean that the DNA of the company may change. Whether that's for good or bad, I think that's going to be what's interesting to see.
However, Neeraj from Avendus Capital feels that not much will change for Nykaa post-listing. Right, Neeraj?
So, see, mature companies, even in the private world, Ratna, the way I think about it is, they are board governed, right? These are, while entrepreneurs or founders run them, but these are all board governed companies where they have to give their annual, quarterly, monthly business plans. There is a reasonable amount of scrutiny, which is not compared to what scrutiny comes with the share market. But I think to me, Nykaa has been always high on business consistency and high on systems and processes. And I think from a stock market perspective, I think what is important is that you need to be consistent and predictable. And second is also you need to be very good in terms of your systems and processes because you need to do everything on time. I think luckily Falguni has been a premier banker herself and she has done a lot of IPOs and she knows what it means. And I think they were ready a couple of years back also for a stock market debut. So I don't think anything necessarily changes apart from just having to go through the rigmarole of public markets. But they, from a business perspective, I don't think anything changes for them. They'll be as audacious as they've been.
When my colleagues spoke to Falguni last week, she acknowledged as well that venture capital is more patient. Here's what she said.
See, I was looking for pure equity investment and that came more from high net worth family offices. And we got enough of those, like around... I didn't want to raise money for first 2-3 years because I was like, I don't want to show a spreadsheet and get my assumptions questioned. I'd rather raise money when all my assumptions are in place so that they cannot question the assumptions. So I waited for 2-2.5 years and our first fundraise was around end of 2014, early 2015.
Yeah.
And at that time, yes, we must have met a lot of investors because my starting point of starting this journey is that I want to do something that others don't believe in. So, because if everyone believes in something, it's already played out.
Yeah.
So, I was looking at an idea that is not currently played out. So, obviously, it was harder to sell it to some investors. But we got some investors and they've been with us from the beginning. So, it was I think high net worth capital is a good capital. They understand the risk profile. They totally support you on your decisions and strategy because they've done it before.
Mm.
So, I think I really value the capital we got.
But what does the market cap of 1 lakh crore rupees actually mean for investors? When compared to India's largest consumer goods company, Hindustan Unilever, Nykaa is massively overpriced. Moreover, the markets have witnessed HUL's performance and execution over decades. That gives them more confidence on the HUL stock. Neeraj says for good stocks, both entry and exit are expensive. But as Kanan points out, a lot of this valuation is embedded in the future as well.
So Ratna, one, the market cap of 1 lakh crore means for existing investors that they've made a lot of money. So that is one. But for the new investors, the anchor investors who came in the IPO or a lot of retail investors who have put faith in the company and come now, I think it means that they are coming into a very, very, very interesting play, a company which has been built very differently. And has a very interesting potential ahead of it because of the new things also they are doing. And I think in India, if you think about good stocks or best stocks, rather, I would say that, have always been priced disproportionately and much better than even how good stocks have been done, right? And I feel that if people are thinking about a very long-term investing here, I think it's a very, very interesting journey for them from a wealth creation perspective. And in good stocks, as I said, entry is expensive, but even exit is expensive. So you always tend to gain if you're there in the long term.
A very, very difficult thing to say when the company is at this very early stage of its life. I talked about Hindustan Lever earlier, and we have seen Hindustan Lever's performance over decades. So there is a huge understanding of the company's business, the company's management, how they execute, how they give guidance to the market, et cetera, and therefore, analysts are able to judge fairly accurately how Hindustan Lever is going to perform. And that's true of many, many listed companies. In the case of Nykaa, a lot of the valuation is embedded well into the future. And as I said, we are talking about price earnings multiples of 1,700. And the average of Nifty valuations, if you take all the Nifty 50 companies, is around 21. So there is a huge expectation embedded in this. And therefore, it's very, very difficult to understand what is a fair valuation at this point in time.
कहानी कोई भी हो तुम ही हो नायिका खोई हुई सिंगार के दिनों को फिर से आने दे इस बार तू खुद को खूब सजने दे नायिका तू खूब सज
Falguni and her family stake is now worth over $6.5 billion. Are these staggering valuations sustainable?
It's a fair question to ask. Is it sustainable, which means can this business become much bigger? Can it become much more profitable in the future? The way to think about it is that there is a big transformation underway in India. A transformation on two counts. One, we have seen that the market for beauty and personal care for fashion has been expanding at a fairly rapid rate in the last few years. So the market in which Nykaa is operating has been really going ahead quite rapidly. The other big, big transformation going on in this country is the whole digital transformation. I mean, there are supposed to be something like 500, 600 million users of internet in India today. That by any global standard is enormous. So the categories in which Nykaa is playing are growing, and the business model, which is very digital focused and in which Nykaa is playing, is also growing exponentially. And the concatenation of these two is really what I think investors are thinking about when they think about the future and saying, this is going to be a very, very big play. And that is the only reason to expect that this valuation can be sustained.
But is the sense of wealth creation a bit disproportionate from market reality? Here's what Falguni has to say.
Our family definitely wants to be involved for the long run. And we are committed. We are very passionate about this business. We are committed to this business for the long term. I think neither for my investors nor for our family, I'm not sitting and measuring how much wealth we have created. We are only measuring how much impact we are making vis-a-vis our consumers and vis-a-vis the society. And I think that is our driving force, and it has always been our driving force. I mean, early days also, when I used to do some fundraise, a lot of people used to tell me, oh, you raise so little, because they wanted me to raise much larger amount of money so that the transaction gets noticed. That's not the way to build a company. We raised the capital that we needed at that point in time. We diluted what was needed at that point in time. Of course, the business needed some amount of money, but we built this company with all of $80 million. I mean, those are the kind of numbers. I think this is the ecosystem that you talk about.
So far, Nykaa has been very focused on tight cost controls. This has resulted in higher profits. But can the profitability come under stress now as they expand? Here's what Falguni told ET Now in an interview.
To our surprise, at the store level, profitability was intact even during early days of September, October. And I think Nykaa has, of course, in physical retail, the costs are higher. And to that extent, we are yet to achieve full break even of the business, but we are very close to that. So I think we do believe that it was the right strategy. The mix needs to be correct, and we will continue to do that in the future.
So what is a good price for Nykaa now? The stock did take some correction on Monday after its sensational debut last week. Neeraj says if the company continues to perform as it has historically, its share price will gain and that this is a long-term bet.
They would have done a lot of roadshows, right? They would have met maybe 50, 100, 200 investors. And these are all very, very high quality investors who are very, very long-term. And they have deposited their faith into the company at these prices, right? So these prices have been discovered by a lot of people who have seen similar plays or differentiated plays globally. And I think from here on, if Nykaa performs how it has performed historically, I think they will continue to gain on the share price and wealth creation perspective. I think Nykaa has built their business very differently, right? They've grown, hyper-grown sustainably, right? I think that's been our ethos. And that has worked wonders for Nykaa. So I think it's important to stick to that in terms of one, continuously execute. Second is, this is a very discerning consumer, right? So you have to be up in your game. You cannot lose your game. And you need to be like very close to your consumer, try to come out with what they really want and bring a relevant experience to them and keeping the customers or user happy. I think that to me is the biggest challenge for them.
The consumer is quite clearly the queen here. The story goes that Falguni was at a five-star hotel when she noticed the salon there did not have that shade of nail paint she was looking for. That's when the idea of starting her own business struck her and Nykaa was born. Well, I must confess, I too have dealt with situations when I couldn't find my shade of lipstick or nail paint. If only the same idea had struck me. Well, such is life. Nykaa is just one of the many new-age consumer internet companies that are listing now. We asked Kannan and Neeraj why recent listings like Zomato and Paytm have received different responses from investors compared to Nykaa.
So my understanding is that the Zomato market cap is not very different to that of Nykaa. I think the interesting one for me is Paytm. And I think a lot of people are asking the question why the Paytm IPO did not attract the same level of interest. And there are many theories which are being put forward. Is the valuation too high? Was the size of the IPO the largest that India has seen? Was it too high? Etc., etc. But when I step back from that, I think the one takeout for me is that investors are therefore asking a lot of questions. So the valuation that a Nykaa or a Zomato got and the interest that they got, the fact that it's different to that of Paytm does mean that investors are evaluating these different IPOs and looking at the strategies of each of these and assessing the value and the interest in investing very, very separately. And that means there is a fair amount of maturity in the way these IPOs are being evaluated. So I think that's one step back thought that I have on these three IPOs. And there is another step back thought, Ratna, which is that at the end of the day, all of them were fully subscribed. And that means that the Indian stock market has actually moved forward from just valuing current financials or, expectations or more in the near-term future kind of financials to actually evaluating and valuing strategies, the results of which may take some years to come. If they wanted to do an IPO in an earlier situation, they would have to go to maybe somebody in Wall Street and explain to them about the Indian story, why what they're doing is very relevant in India, why it's scalable, etc. And the chances of success might have been mixed. Now, it's really clear that if they have a good strategy, the entrepreneurs are credible, if the governance is good, they can go to the Indian market and raise money out here. And I think that's another fundamental transformation that's of great interest to me.
I think there are three specific points I'll tell, which I believe are very differentiated for Nykaa and which have made it stood out. And just see the numbers of the IPO, right? It's never, ever happened for an IPO of this size in India. This was not a small IPO. It was a $750 odd million IPO. and the kind of subscription they've got either for retail or for public or for NII, I think it's not comparable at all to anything which has happened in the past of this scale. I think I would say leadership. If you think about this category in India, in the beauty side, which is the core business today, they are numero uno, right? And they've been a platform of choice for all the beauty brands in India and outside. That's one. I think the second is profitability, right? If you think about the other two, there are no profits as such today to talk about, right? And they have a story around profits for future. I think what it does is, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but some people who have always valued profitability would not be as comfortable with the other two. And I think the last one is also the way the businesses have been built. If you think about all the three in terms of valuation today, it's not very different, right? We are not talking about one a scale of 10. We are not talking 2 and 10. We are talking maybe two of them almost similar, and the third one maybe 10-20% higher. But the amount of capital required to reach here is so astronomically different. And I think a lot of people have appreciated that, right? Because it means in a technical way that a lot of shareholders who were shareholders then didn't get diluted. And their shareholding was almost intact to the time they made this investment, and that allowed them to make a lot of return versus they getting continuously diluted for the amount of capital being raised. So I think that's the third very, very important differentiator for Nykaa.
But the beauty space is getting crowded and intensely competitive. Nykaa is already operating in the same space as many consumer companies. And now with the big boys, Reliance and the Tatas, too getting their beauty blueprints ready, Nykaa will obviously have to up its game, right?
Nykaa has been seen to be a specialist in a market where there are a lot of generalist retailers, like an Amazon or a Flipkart. You go there to buy anything and everything. Nykaa is seen as a specialist beauty personal care retailer. And people, therefore, believe that when they go to Nykaa, they'll be able to fulfill their requirements much better than when they can go to an Amazon and Flipkart. That position that Nykaa has acquired is something that will continuously need to be reinforced. And reinforcement does mean that they always have to be the best specialist in the beauty and personal care area. And that means that you must be able to find stuff on Nykaa that you perhaps can't find on other platforms. Or when you find something on Nykaa, you must be able to really understand that it is for you. And therefore, Nykaa must talk to what is the connection between what the consumer is interested in and the consumer's problems. And how do they provide an understanding of whether a particular product or a particular brand will really solve the problem for consumers. And that means that they must really understand why consumers are coming to shop on Nykaa. That's the mark of a great specialist brand. And I think that's where Nykaa has to keep innovating to make sure they are the best that's there.
Nykaa's had the first mover advantage in beauty and personal care, as we all know. But now they're talking fashion as the new growth vertical. But that's a space deeply entrenched with players like Myntra and Ajio. So how do things change? Falguni's daughter Advaita, an Ivy League graduate herself, is steering the business into fashion. But can straddling beauty, personal care and fashion work?
Fashion is definitely something we're betting on in a very big way. It's a bet that we took about 2.5 years ago. And I think we're going to see, the growth in the last year itself has been incredible. But I think we'll see massive acceleration this next year and the year after. And so we do see fashion actually becoming a very sizable part of, Nykaa's overall business. It's already 25% of the consolidated GMV, but we see that percentage going higher over the next few years. We're trying to build something that is slightly more premium than what exists in the market. Mm-hmm. And so to put that in context, like our average order value is 3,000 rupees, and our competitors' average order value would be less than half of that.
Yeah.
So it's not some uber premium platform, but yes, we do believe in the slight premiumization of the Indian consumer. We saw a gap there. We heard that gap from customers and from brands, and that's what we're focusing on.
Okay.
So we're going to try to build a very differentiated platform with this sort of unique, premium, curated, style-led positioning. And we're then confident that we'll be able to build this into a very sizable business.
Here's Neeraj and Kanan's take on Nykaa's journey into fashion.
I think they have been a lot more successful in fashion in a very short span of time because they were able to leverage all their learnings in the beauty and personal care space, which they did. into the fashion space. And I think they have a very, very strong leadership. And the business is now very important part of the overall theme. It's, my sense is what I've read is it's almost 20-25% of the total GMV of the company. So you have to appreciate that they will be able to break this because the consumer love for them has not stopped. They have to just transcend them from one to other category.
At a very conceptual level, it works because all of these are about helping people look their best, right? You buy fashion because you want to present yourself in a certain way. You buy beauty and personal care again for the same reason. So the part of the brain in which these reside are all very, you know, are all, I guess, next to each other in the brain, if I may put it that way. So in that sense, it feels like a coherent strategy. The challenge is, I think there are people who came in ahead, and I particularly would like to call out Myntra, who has remained ahead of that game for a long time. Despite being challenged by people like Amazon, etc., Myntra still continues to be way, way ahead. And therefore, strategy is one thing, but can they execute it? They execute the strategy in a way which feels different to consumers is, I think, something that I'm still not sure has been answered.
Which brings us to the question every startup deals with. Are these new age companies simply burning cash instead of focusing on profits?
We are early stage investors. And typically, almost all the investments that we do are in businesses which make losses. So how do we separate out good losses from bad losses is something that we do every day in our business. And the way we think about this is saying that why is a loss happening? Is it because you are acquiring new customers? And are these customers happy with what they're buying, and do they come back? Therefore, is there a very profitable lifetime value that the business is generating? Or do we find that most of the customers who come buy once and never come back again? In which case, it's, you know, what I would call a bad way of using capital. So I would argue that it's not just about losses. It's about, are these good losses or bad losses? And as I said, good losses are essentially those which in some manner bring forward the future. And we are very happy to invest where you are spending capital to bring forward the future.
Falguni is the daughter of a businessman who ran a bearings company. She studied at IIM Ahmedabad and started off as a management consultant with AF Ferguson. She quit when she was at the top at Kotak Mahindra Group after nearly two decades and famously said, everything was going right. Can everything continue to be right for Nykaa? Time and a ruthless stock market will tell. I'm Ratna Bhushan and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was produced by Nehal Chaliawala and Swati Joshi. Soundarya Jayachandran was the sound editor. We are signing off and hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and do share the episode on your social media networks. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day ahead. All external sound clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description box.